As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt, otherwise known on the internet as Super Gains Bros. Joined again by Kyle, the Age of Retro.
Be back.
Happy holidays, man.
Same to you. Same to you.
Same. It's winter time. Is it snow in there?
No, actually.
Have you had snow yet?
No, we're expecting some kind of mixed storm tomorrow and Wednesday. So we'll see how it goes.
See how it goes. Okay.
But so far, so good.
Okay, well, we don't really get much snow out here, but I mean, you're over there, man. Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's cold. It gets cold.
It gets snowy. That's Patriots cold. Football weather.
That's right.
Patriots are crushing it.
How about them Patriots?
They're looking good. I think it's them or Denver.
They look very good.
And I think either of them are playing the Rams in the Super Bowl. That's my prediction right now.
Yeah. I think the biggest obstacle.
Broncos versus the Rams.
Biggest obstacle is probably Indy in the division. So,
in the AFC.
Not in the division, but in the conference.
In the AFC. I don't know. Denver's really good. Yeah, I think Denver.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think they're looking good. I was almost hoping you'd wear wearing your Michigan shirt again. Not that you're really a Michigan guy,
I'm an Ohio
State guy. Let's go. Got the monkey off our back. Back to being the kings of the college football.
Nice. So. Yeah, I was more of a Tom Brady fan.
I know. You just wore it that one time, and I was like, whoa, what are we doing? That's okay. I'm sure all my listeners, all the listeners here are like, why are we talking sports? Okay.
Got my Hawkins on.
There you go. Stranger Things.
That's right.
We won't spoil anything, but man, it's good so far.
I was actually on the first episode. I was like, oh my God. Like, the first like 5 minutes, they just set up what they did in the last 18 months to kind of fill out that gap. And I'm like, come on, let's go.
I haven't seen the play or read anything about it, but I've seen a lot of people say, oh, you have to read the play. It's super important.
I did watch a bootleg of the play, and it does inform a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely go to Broadway, go see the show. However, there is the internet. And if you're reluctant to get to the Broadway, it's a weird show. Honestly, it is very horror heavy, very graphic. It's a very different vibe than the show. Watcher beware on that one. It is very different.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I'll check it out. I haven't done that yet, but I've read a little bit about it. You know, it's a prequel, backstory, fills and stuff. I know they did a book a couple years ago that I think they were going to maybe say was like canon, and I think that's been like decanonized now.
I think you're right.
I don't know. Anyway, loved it.
It was great.
Duffer Brothers have not missed. And, you know, how do you feel real quick? People seem to either hate, like just absolutely hate the episode in the second season of Stranger Things, the one where Elle meets Eight, the like the other group of people, and one episode of which is like Ty Green, the bodybuilder. Yeah.
Yeah. If
do,
they
do you hate it? Like I'm just like, it's fine. It was an extra episode.
Yeah. It my problem with that episode is that you're in the high of seven episode, right? And then there's season like two. The stakes are going, like it's just a lot of building up, and then pew, episode eight comes
it down. Yeah.
And it's like, wait, like where's the pacing? If they take episode eight and spread it out throughout the rest of the season,
I can agree with that. Great. And it was just an arc for L.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, instead of being a full episode, I agree with that.
It was just, it breaks their format a little bit. I think it is jarring. I don't mind the episode.
And they've never gone back to it. So it feels like it's just this piece of the puzzle.
That's true.
It's like Ted Lasso, the beard episode. Have you watched Ted
Yeah,
Lasso?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, what is going on here? You know what I mean?
Yep. Just like, yeah, yeah.
Like, here's a side story.
I love that episode, though.
It's great.
That's such a good episode. My something I observe with this season is that once you get into episode two, it feels like episode seven of any other season. It's like you are full throttle. It does not stop. And it really doesn't all the way up until episode four, like the very last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic, man. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for the rest of it, obviously. Duffer Brothers. I want to see what they're up to next.
They're going to Paramount for something, and they signed like an exclusive deal with Paramount that said they can go back to Netflix and work on other projects if they need to.
Okay.
So it's not exclusive.
It's a friendly deal.
Yep.
Okay. All right, man. Well, hey, today we're talking 3DS, which I very excited for, very passionate about. And okay. Yeah. And we'll dive into all that. But first we're start with some pickups. I finally got it. I'm just going to
get it. I don't believe you.
I'm going to dive in first. Here it is.
Show me.
After like a year of waiting.
You get the black one. Nice.
I did get the black one. The analog 3D. Let me tell you, this thing
is worth it. Is it the real deal?
It's the real deal. Yeah, it is pretty epic. So is it just a way to upscale your N64 games to 4K and play them? Yes. Are you playing your original cartridges? Yes. Is it emulation? Kinda. Yeah. Now I will say, first of all, the device itself is awesome. It's very sleek, matte black, analog packaging was fantastic. Yes, they delay their projects and it takes a while, but when you get them, they are premium. This thing is super nice. Just USB in the back. You've got a couple there. SD card. I had to go to a website, download some firmware to get it going. But other than that, man, it's pretty much plug and play. I mean, you're playing, and the cool thing about it is upscaling or overclocking.
Overclocking.
Overclocking is the big, to me, selling point as to why you would want this device specifically over maybe even something like emulation.
Yep.
So I will say, the first game I popped in was Wave Race, which is like, you know, my favorite N64 game.
I would have guessed that for you.
For sure.
I would have guessed.
And it's one of those things where some games, emulation, if you want like the best experience, might still be the way to go. Because like when you play on the Switch Online, which is just like playing like on RetroArch or any of these other emulators, Wave Race is better. It looks better because it is being internally upscaled. This does not internal upscale like emulation does.
Yep.
It is still more like the fuzzy pixel graphics that, you know, taking that like whatever 480i or 360, whatever, you know, image, and it can produce it to 4K. So having said that, the image you do get out of it is very clean, very crisp, very nice. You do have some options. There's a few scan line options you have. It can replicate like a BVM, a PVM, yep, which is like broadcast video monitor, professional. And you can change like different CRT styles. Like, oh, I want like more. I believe you can do like vertical or horizontal scan lines. And you can also obviously just go to like a clean image. There's like a deep blur and some of those things. The overclocking, though, is still the reason to get this. Because even compared to software emulation, where you can do some messing around with that, infinitely more accurate and almost zero issues I had with this. And so some games like GoldenEye, playing in overclock mode, it's like a totally different game. It's right. I think it was, to me, it felt immediately better than even playing like a Switch Online or the Xbox version.
Yeah.
Of it, even though those can play in widescreen.
I'll officially take back what I said. And it's not my fault. I do blame Analog for this because they didn't show any gameplay.
They showed none for a long time. It was ridiculous.
It honestly would have sold me. If they showed the overclocking, if they showed overclocking, I would have been all in. Because once I saw, I sent you those videos of the reviews and I was like, it's just
4K. They didn't even say that was a thing.
It's just 4K at this point. When I was starting, when they start the reviews, they're like, here's the PVM, here's BVM. Great. It's just transferring to 4K. Once they got to overclocking, my mind was blown. I could not believe how good that looked.
Oh, it's phenomenal. So some games you really don't notice a difference because maybe it's like locked, but there's less like stutter.
Right.
So
as they'll have like certain graphics or renders on certain.
And they have a few different overclocking options. There's like Unleash, which is just like pure, like that's like the max. But so some games, like I tried like NFL Quarterback Club. If you go to the max, it's like too fast. Right. The game is because it wasn't obviously designed to run like that. But if you dial it back a little bit, now the game is running much smoother than, not that you really want to play NFL Quarterback Club, but you have that option. And so another game like Aero Fighters Assault, which is kind of like an Ace Combat, you know, game, that's another one I was very excited for the overclocking because it runs so sluggish normally. Right. It's one of those games that's nowhere near 30 FPS, but now I feel like it is like a solid, stable, feels so much smoother. That's the whole reason to get it.
I think you'll see a better performance with games that require 3D, like Star Fox, those they're built completely in 3D versus something that has like a texture map or something that has some kind of weird surface bitmap that they've applied to it. Those are going to render horribly.
Yeah.
But those like true 3D games, they're going to look beautiful.
Yeah. So everything I threw at it looked and felt great. And man, in some cases, it is better than emulation because even like a game like MRC, which is like Multi Racing Championship, which is just an arcade racer where you can play as different car styles and there's like, you know, gravel roads and stuff like that. When you play it on emulation, it gets rid of some of the fog and stuff like that. And then you pop it in here. And even though it's a little like more blurry, I want to say. Yep. It's like a crisper version of it. And it just, the feel is so different.
Right.
So it's huge. It is. Yeah. To me, the N64 is like the reason I wanted one of an analog product.
Yeah. It's I definitely, based on the filters or whatever they're using for the scan lines, I think the PVM was definitely the better of the scan lines. That's what I have here is a PVM, Sony PVM. I think it's a little bit better. But you have to have like a super trained eye to notice a difference.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. But the only other negative thing I noticed is, and I tried looking online, but nobody's talking about this, is I plugged it into, I don't have a 4K monitor, but I do have like, I have like a 1440p monitor and it was going to 1080. Scales. And it was going to 1080. So okay. I don't know if it can do 1440p. I think it's either 1080 or 4K.
Interesting. That is
so weird. Not that that's like the end of the world, really, but a little like, and maybe, and I don't know. I mean, I tried, this is an ultra wide, so I thought that might be throwing it off. I threw it on my other portable monitor, which is a 16 by 10. So it might've been like an aspect ratio thing that was throwing it off. I have one other 14, like my old school 32 inch 1440p. I'm going to hook it up to and see if, but otherwise, and what I saw online is nobody said anything about it. So I maybe it's just nobody's tried it, but I don't know. So I have not gotten a 1440p signal. It's either been 1080 or 4K.
Wow. That is weird.
Not that that's like the end of the world, but just
right.
For sake of science.
Yeah, I don't think it messes with upscaling too.
Yeah.
So. I don't know.
Okay. Any other, some other pickups? I'll toss it to you. And we'll go back and forth a little bit here. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been picking up my backlog. There's some games that I missed out on. I just felt like playing something funny. So I jumped into High on Life, which is from Squanch Games, Justin Roiland, game that was made by the creator of Rick and Morty. I found it hysterical. It was probably one of the most disgusting games I've ever played. It was a lot of fun. Another funny game that I picked up and jumped into was South Park Fractured But Whole. I've
never played it. I played the first one, Stick of Truth, but I've never played the second one.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I meant Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth. Okay.
I just picked up Fractured But Whole so I can finally play that. But Stick of Truth, I never played it when it first came out. It was so, probably
so great.
I think it took over the most like messed up game I've ever played.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, yeah.
the content in that game. I'm like, wow. But yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It felt like playing like I was involved in an episode. I was kind of mind blown how fun that game was.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And then the only other thing that I've jumped into because it finally went on sale was Expedition 33. Mm-hmm. So I've been going pretty hard in the RPG realm. But that game is I filled up
your
my
graphics
ballot.
Card died.
It did. So I was playing on the Steam Deck and I wasn't getting the performance.
Yeah.
So I returned it on Steam and ended up getting it for PS5. It's just a beautiful game. I submitted my ballot for the Game Awards. I voted for Death Stranding 2. I felt like I was doing a disservice because I didn't actually play Expedition 33. I feel like it's going to get Game of the Year. So I'm like, I just need to dive in. And I did. And I kind of love it. It's kind of cool. Very unique. But traditional. It feels like a proper Final Fantasy game, which is...
Yeah.
Refreshing, because the modern Final Fantasy games don't feel like Final Fantasy games at all.
Right.
They're not refreshing.
No. Yeah, I'm with you. So I have picked some pickups as well, and I have thoughts on Expedition 33. Same thing, man. A little bit I've played of it, I've enjoyed it, but I just have yet to find myself in a moment where I'm like, Mike, I really want to sink my teeth into this.
It has a big wall to climb.
Because it's another one of these. I love that you get right into the action. I will say that about it. Where so many other RPGs, one of which I'm about to talk about, is like, God, the freaking learning curve is just so long that I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah, you have to get over that initial. Once you get down with the combat system and you start parrying and dodging, it's a lot more fluid. It does get more challenging though.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go through the rest of my games, my pickups here really quick. So I got Pokemon Legends.
Nice.
ZA when it came out, which will tie into one of the games I'm going to talk about today. Best Pokemon battle system ever.
Wow.
Hands down, not even close. It is so sick. It finally feels like watching Pokemon. However, the intro, slog, story, tutorial is so god awful. I almost thought about like, can I send this back? Because
really,
dude, it's just, and it's a Pokemon problem. It's just like the story in these games, they just do so much hand holding and it's just god awful. They're like, do you know how Mega Evolution works? Which we're also going to talk about today when I get to one of my games for the 3DS. Yes, I do, because it's been out for over 10 years.
I don't.
And, oh, no, we have to go have dinner and talk about, like, you always have to answer these stupid questions. Like, do you want to be like the best trainer or do you want to like be friends with your Pokemon? It's like, just let me play the game. And it's such a slog that it just overshadows what is easily the best Pokemon battle system ever. Like, hands down, the best battle system ever. I think like Pokemon is actually since Pokemon has entered the 3D realm, I felt like they're going through the Sonic struggle. It's just a better franchise at hiding its flaws than Sonic was. And Sonic got way more criticized for it. But I feel like every game they try a new mechanic to be like, because they're still trying to figure out exactly what Pokemon should be in 3D. And should it be like Sword and Shield, which was the traditional version, but it wasn't free roam, but there was a free roam section and everyone liked that. And so then they went, okay, now let's do Legends Arceus, which is total free roam, but now you're just hucking Pokeballs at everything. And so it wasn't there. And then Scarlet and Violet was such a freaking colossal performance mess on Switch that it was just god awful. But I did go back and play it on Switch 2. So much better of experience, but the visuals are just like not there. And the battle system is flawed because of the camera angles. So in this, in Legends ZA, you can swap Pokemon on the fly. You can throw Pokeballs on the fly. And they changed it to where it is now active time-based, which is huge because it causes me to use moves I otherwise like don't want to use, which is like things like Leer and Tail Whip, status-changing moves. Because now that it's on like a Xenoblade, you know, like type timer, right, changes everything. So get slog your way through and then play.
Did the slog go away after a period of time? Yes. It's just in that intro.
Yes, it is. But it's like it feels like a 3-hour slog. Oh. You just have to. Yeah, it's a lot.
That's going to lose a lot of people.
It is. Okay. Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment. Nice. Haven't touched it just because it's been the holidays. I got the analog, everything, but I will. And I'm sure it'll be fantastic. You know, we were talking about Wii Fit. I went on the other one. So I was like, let me look at some of the fitness games on Switch. And they have like the rhythm boxing, which is like the new kind of Nintendo whatever things. And I was like, oh, there's one for Fist of the North Star. I played a little bit of it. It's kind of fun. But I don't really know nearly enough about Fist of the North Star. Nothing. I just know that it's anime. I was like, well, I might like this more than the other one. But it's for what it is. It's kind of fun. I don't feel like it's nearly as accurate as like Wii Fit was, or even Punch Out for that matter.
Right.
So the timing feels off. Okay. And then.
And you went hard in the paint on Switch 2 games.
Oh yeah. And then I decided, I was like, maybe this isn't a game I don't want physically because I want to play it a ton, but I was like, I'm just gonna bite the bullet because I loved the first game so much. Then this is now I have actually been finally diving into it after I got burnt out, which I talked about earlier this year. This is my game of the year, Hades 2. Yeah, it's so good. it's freaking phenomenal now that like it, because I played a little bit of it, you know, which was technically early access even though the game was officially being released, but having it on Switch now, different story, because now I can play on the couch, everything. It's so good. Yeah, I mean, if you liked Hades 1, you will definitely like Hades 2, like if you haven't bought it yet until it officially released, not in early access. It is definitely a different style of game. Like, I mean, it's the same, but the mechanic, like Hades 1 is like speed rushing. Hades 2 is a little more crowd control, like bigger areas, it feels like.
Diablo. And,
I feel like you're doing more spells and you're doing more crowd management, because like in Hades 1, it was all about like destroy this enemy, you know, like you're like blitzing around. Here it feels like you're more like a mage, which technically you're still using like physical attacks and stuff, but you can just do like more area spells. There's different kinds of buffs. The story is like a huge leap forward. Not that the story in Hades 1 is bad, but yeah, it's freaking phenomenal. Looks great on Switch 2. It's freaking phenomenal.
So that's your official
game of the year.
Of the year.
Hades 2. I voted for it.
And we both know it's not going to win.
It's not. But it's Hades not. 1 did. But yeah, if it weren't for Claire Obscure, Hades 2 might win.
I feel like it's definitely going to win.
But yeah. And then I also picked up another device. I picked up the Retroid Pocket 5.
Nice.
Just, you know, because I had the 3.
What is the ballpark on that?
Literally they just announced the 6 and, you know, and the whatever.
Yeah. They release way too much.
They release a ton, but I think I got it was around like $200 or something like that. But I'm using it actually because OLED screen. I had the 3, which was IPS. So all the other stuff, Android emulation, everything is great. My 3 was incapable of doing like PS2, Wii, and stuff like that. So I have that on here, and but there's like an Android app for PS Remote Play that's better than like the Portal and Steam Link. So it's actually for me, I was like, I don't want to go buy a Steam Deck. So I bought this so I can do remote play and stuff like that. And it's great.
Steam Deck's the goat.
Yeah, Steam Deck's great. I mean, I have the Ally, which is like the Steam Deck, but yeah.
I just sold my Portal. I used it probably twice. And I was like, I get nothing out of this.
Yeah.
I dumped it.
Yeah. The latency. So there is an app that's called
Severe.
There's an app I have. It's called PS Play.
Yeah.
And it is way, I think I'm pretty sure you can get on Steam Deck, but it is way better. It is, yeah. The latency is way faster. Like I was unable to play like Madden and college football on like my computer, which is the same as the portal. Like when you're actually trying to play like kick it, like field goals, it's like you just can't do it. Like things that require such precise. Yeah. The latency on the PS Play, like third party app, way better. Like night and day difference. Still there a little for like ultra precise stuff, but way better.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm over the Retroids. I'm over them.
Yeah.
You have Steam Deck.
Yeah. If you have the Steam Deck, you're fine.
Like why need anything else?
Well, for me, the only reason is my ROG Ally is I have hooked up to my, I have a eGPU that I hooked it up to. So it's really become my desktop. So smart. I was like, now I can Steam Link.
Is that Linux?
No, it's Windows, but you can run Linux on it if you want.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Let's dive in. Today's
what are we talking about today?
The Nintendo 3DS. Let me tell you. This, if it weren't for the Switch, would be my favorite Nintendo system, I believe. Even more than the Super Nintendo.
Get out.
Ah, man. It's one of those things where it was like perfect timing for me. Perfect game library. I just really love the 3DS. The 3DS is kind of what got me back into like Nintendo hardcore. Because it was Xbox 360. I had the Wii and stuff like that, but it was kind of like I moved back to Ohio from Portland, went back to college. And so the 3DS was like my jam. That's like what I was playing, like hardcore every day. Cause I was like, I was like commuting for an hour and stuff like that. And so I bought the 3DS. I bought Pokemon Soul Silver, which is a DS game, but I bought it for the 3DS. And I had the original 3DS, the like smaller one, the black one. And then I gave it to my brother because he had the Fire Emblem one for Fire Emblem Awakening, which is like a custom, whatever, special edition one. And somebody broke into his car and stole it. So then I bought the 3DS XL. I have the Mario and Luigi special one. But man, so many great games, and we'll dive into them here. But yeah, I freaking love the 3DS, man. Just so many great memories. So this is like perfect timing for me.
What year? I mean, I feel like
it was around like 2010, something like that, like when it officially launched. Yeah,
which is insane to think about.
Nintendo 3DS launch. Ah, man. When did it? We'll see. 2010. Yeah, March of 2010. That's crazy. And then the 3DS XL. So did you get it when it originally came out, or what?
I did.
Yeah.
What were
your thoughts on it?
I thought it was interesting. I love the 3D gimmick. It does get old for me. I can't play long sessions with the 3D.
So no, I don't think anybody can.
I love switching in between because it is cool to look at. It is a remarkable piece of technology. But I was able to, I thought it was probably the best way to play 64 games for that, for a handheld, you know. Definitely upscaling graphics. I think they even remade a lot of new graphics for older games, which they didn't really do a lot of remakes back then.
Yeah.
Remasters. So it was a great way to pick up on Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Star Fox. So it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know what it was. I think, again, for me, it was just timing. I was in college, and so I played it every day. And I'll start with one of my games here that I played religiously, which is really, it's really, maybe the 3DS itself isn't, but it's just this game specifically is so fond in my heart that it like causes me to feel this way because it's obviously a 3DS exclusive, and that is Animal Crossing New Leaf. Now I knew that I was like, oh man, like a good Animal Crossing game on the 3DS, which is like, you know, totally meant to be played for a few minutes like every day. Mm-hmm. Right? Like now I could do that on the Switch and stuff like that, but it's not the same. Like it just hit me in that perfect time where I was like, I'm back in college and I was like working a job. So I didn't have a lot of time. So this was like the perfect game because it's like, oh, I can play for like 30 minutes every day, you know, in between like, you know, work and all this kind of stuff. And so it's still why I believe, and I made a TikTok about this like a week or two ago. I still believe Animal Crossing New Leaf is the best Animal Crossing game. Just because the idea of like, you're the mayor was such a cool way to do it, where it actually like, oh, I'm like designing the town, like felt like important. I mean, now you just design it and you can still do all that stuff and they've added to it and they're doing an update, but which they said the Switch 2 update.
Yeah.
But in New Leaf at the time, I was like, oh man, that's such a cool way to do it by making you the mayor, because now it's like, oh yeah, no, you own it. But you can do like ordinances and all these things. And it was such a cool way to do it. And just a charming little game, little Animal Crossing game. You could go to the other island and do fishing. They added like deep sea diving, all this stuff. Yeah. This is like, this like lived in my 3DS for a long time, because it was like, I played it religiously. I still go back to it. It's the only Animal Crossing I still will be like, I need to like go back in. And like every like 6 months or so, I'll be like, all right, let me go back in, check out my town. And then like your hair is all messed up because like you haven't played in a while. It's like you just rolled out of bed. And it's like, all right. And I'll dive back into it for like a week or two. I'm like, all right, you know, and so it still's got me a little bit.
Wow. That is a charming little game. And I think back to when my daughter, that was the 3DS is my daughter's first evolution of games, right? Mm-hmm. That's really the first handheld that she had. And she did love playing New Leaf. And what was the other one? The Home Decor.
Home Decor is kind of like Amiibo something was a side piece to it.
She loved playing that. The Home Designer game, she loved doing that too. And I think there's a new aspect of that in the modern Animal Crossing games. But just a charming little game. It was very, very fun, very a great evolution in the Animal Crossing life cycle, I think.
Yeah. So you played it? Yeah, obviously you played.
Oh, yeah. I didn't invest as much as you did from the sound of it. I was more of a GameCube initial brand new Animal Crossing champion. I love that game.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people say that, like, the Wild World, the one on the DS, and then the what is it, City Folk, I think, is the one on the Wii. I didn't play either of those.
I didn't play City Folk.
So for me, it was like, oh, I made the jump of Animal Crossing was like GameCube to 3DS, and I was like, oh, wow, this is great.
Yeah, GameCube getting presents on your birthday of NES games.
So cool.
So amazing.
Yeah, they added in this one. They had a lot of cool NES like NES items, right? You can get like Samus's helmet and which, hey, by the way, Metroid Prime 4 coming out in a couple days.
This week, right?
I'm excited. But and then like you get like the Mario block and the Master Sword, and it would like, you know, in your house, just cool little items. You had Street Pass, so you like, you know, we walk past people, you get stuff. Great. You like it, like you shake you, like if you could just like, it was like based on steps, right? Like how many steps you get. So you're just like shaking your 3DS so you could get coins. Like in Animal Crossing, it's so sweet.
Could you play the time game in that? I mean,
that's the one I never did that on that Animal Crossing. Wow. Never. I'm sure you could, but I never did because playing it so much. Oh, I've done it in every Animal Crossing, but New Leaf.
3DS. Got it.
Yeah, because I was playing it so religiously. Yeah, I never had to. Okay, I'll toss it to you.
Metroid. You just mentioned it.
There we go.
Got Metroid Dread. Samus Dread. Returns. Dread's not here. It's on a Switch still. But yeah, Samus Returns. I'll say a good remake of Metroid 2 on the original Game Boy, which we talked about on the Game Boy episode. It's I realize what my problem is with these types of games, where they take these pixelated beauties and they make them 3D. I'm not crazy about that, but there were some things about this game that they just made it a much bigger game. A lot of interesting choices, like we talked about previously. They have that melee smack attack.
Parry.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the parry myself. I don't like it in Dread either. But it does add a little bit of a new mechanic to fighting, which I think is cool. It's just a gorgeous game. and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, kind of continuing on, because you had the remake of Metroid 1's Zero Mission, right?
Yep.
on the Game Boy Advance. And yep. So that's what you got here. Yeah, I have not played it, but from the, like you said, the things I've seen, people have said, yeah, they, you know, they really enjoy it. Surprised with Dread, you know, being as popular and successful as it was, that they didn't say, hey, let's port that, which in general, I'm surprised. I know there's the two screen aspect, but this is one of those games where you don't think the screen aspect would be an issue. That,
not really.
But more 3DS games have not made their way to Switch. Like, yeah, where is a link
it's between completely, worlds? Completely dead.
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest game that I could think is a travesty not porting.
Yeah.
Is Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, and that's one I almost picked, but it's like so bizarre that didn't get ported.
Yeah.
Because some of these games is like, okay, like that's item management. You just press start and okay, just like you do in any other menu. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, that Metroid, I have another game I'm going to be talking about here in a minute, like, or that, man, it's just so bizarre, some of these games. I mean, the Luigi's Mansion 2 did, though.
Right.
It got it is a 3DS game, and it got a port to Switch.
Did they enhance? They enhanced that a bit.
Yeah. But
I feel like
you would think Metroid Samus Returns would get that, especially considering just how, like, well Dread did.
I think I have no idea what these games look like on the 3DS would look very different on a Switch, to the point where I think they need to remaster them. Like, they have to put a lot of development work into making them look good. They're not, well, I don't think they're going to translate.
How does Luigi, cause I haven't played it, cause I got it for my wife. Actually, I bought Luigi's Mansion, cause she's like, I said this before, obsessed with Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah.
Beat it like a million times. So I bought her Luigi's Mansion 2. She's now playing Luigi's Mansion 1 because it just came out in October, like around Halloween, on the GameCube virtual, yeah, whatever, not virtual console, but Switch Online. She's playing through that. But, you know, like, I mean, but it, I mean, compared on Switch, I mean, it looks good. So, I mean, I can't imagine that we're not getting more of these.
Was that a direct port? Like, did they not do anything to it?
Oh, no, I mean, it definitely looks better than...
I'm thinking if they put this on Switch, it's not going to look good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you'd have to upscale it and obviously do everything. But Luigi's Mansion 2 on Switch, let me just pull up, like... Yeah, I mean, I think... Here, I can add it to the screen here. Share screen. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I mean, it looks, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you can tell it's a little blocky here and there, but
they definitely put some work into that.
Yeah. Just, I wonder if it's just because they're too busy with Metroid Prime 4. Like, hey, if we do another one of these, like without doing Metroid Prime, or they're saving it or something.
Dude, they should have done Metroid Prime 2, Metroid Prime 3. Yeah. This is the least of my worries right now.
I know, but it just seems like an easy thing to.
There's so many easy things that they miss.
Yeah,
honestly, I love Nintendo to death, but there's some misses.
They have some misses. Okay. I will, let me do this one. I will add on to that a little bit here, and that is with Pokemon X. So, like you said, like, you know, with the pixelated graphics and everything, maybe didn't the way you particularly liked it, because this went from sprite based, like went from black and white to Pokemon X. I still believe Pokemon X might be the best Pokemon game since. Still might be the best. It and Sword and Shield to me are still probably the best Pokemon games since the Nintendo DS. Like, you know, Black and White 2 was the end of the DS era, and since then. So X is like the first game really in kind of 3D, right? First real official like Pokemon generation, I should say, because you had like Colosseum and games like that. But this introduced Mega Evolution, which total huge new thing for the series, which I know you're not as big into Pokemon. So
yeah, clarifying question.
I will explain some things. You could go play freaking Legends ZA and you'd be like, I don't know what you're the reason that they have to include this stuff.
It's my fault. Right. Legends ZA. The Pokemon was on the DS.
Yeah.
You just said it. Yes. So, and that was sprite based.
Yeah.
This is the first jump to 3D.
Yes.
And how much of the mechanic changed? Like, obviously, it's not the same.
Oh, it's huge. It was a huge jump because just so many things. So, let me start. So, first of all, one of the biggest things they added was roller skates, which drastically changed movement in the game. So no, it's a huge deal, because if you go back to like original Pokemon on the Game Boy, right, you have to walk everywhere. On the Game Boy Advance, they added like running shoes in like Fire Red and Leaf Green, which are the remakes. That changed a lot of things. Here they added roller skates, which I know seems like, but now you could go in 3D. You could go in like diagonal directions and things like that, which also made traversing much faster. And I know that doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but it was. So yeah, in terms of 3D and everything, but you got like actual cutscenes, right? Like real deal cutscenes and things like that. So I mean, if it had been on the Wii U at the time, and like just been a higher resolution, it would feel like, you know, Scarlet and Violet do now. Right. Which, going from basically only playing handheld 2D games to that is a huge jump.
So I imagine the storyline is you're a new kid. There's a bigger, meaner gym person.
Oh, yeah.
That they're talking
oh, yeah.
crap to you. And you're trying to go around. You're new to the area. And you're going to collect Pokemon and build up. And then you go to different gyms. And that's it, right? They're all the same.
That's still pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it did introduce some other new mechanics real quick. So Mega Evolution, which is basically, it's like going Super Saiyan, I think, is the easiest way to describe it, okay. Which was a huge new mechanic in the series at the time. Now they've added that to they've redone it in a bunch of different ways. Like in Scarlet and Violet, you can like terrestrialize or whatever it's called, right? Yeah, that was Mega Evolution, where it's like, okay, you could do like a power up for a brief period of time, but of course you have to evolve into it. So it adds a new mechanic. It added new types. This is the last time they really added new Pokemon types, like Fairy, which there had not been a counter to Dragon for a really long time. And so that was like the big counter to Dragon type. So definitely balanced Pokemon out a long time. And it takes place in Lumino City, which is where Legends ZA takes place, or the region that's like the big city. So Legends ZA, at least story-wise, is like a continuation somewhat, you know, like there are some things of Pokemon X and Y. So I feel like
we're gonna do a new segment where I actually play through the
game. We should.
And I'm just
Kyle plays
I'm Pokemon. So lost.
I'm talking to the listener. Okay. Like it's like when you're talking about like Metroid and I'm like, real quick, just on the subject of Metroid, so a while back I made a video on Metroid Other M, and right now it is blowing up on YouTube. Like I'm getting like 20-30 comments a day. Wow. Where I said Metroid Other M I believe is underrated, overhated, underrated. You and I haven't talked about that. What are your thoughts on it? You're a diehard Metroid fan.
Yeah, I think you're either going to go one way with Metroid or the Prime way. So it's either traditional Metroid or Prime. I feel like Other M tries to mix the two a little bit. And then kind of N64'd Metroid in a way. I know it's on Wii, but they tried to like make it like Mega Man Legends Metroid, right? I can see how people have a hard time with it. The storyline is not great.
I'm with you on that.
That's probably the biggest takeaway from the hate I can understand or empathize with. It also has the coolest cutscene in any Metroid game, where they flash back to Mother Brain and the Super Metroid fight. It is amazing to see that cutscene. But I do understand it. It's still a fun game. Like, if you take Metroid off that title, it's a fun game.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I've said. I'm like, man, but when once you get into the, I always felt like once you get into the flow of the game, I actually think if you had just made it, if you had not done the like awkward control where you have to go like this, you know, and then point at the screen, the same thing you have to
do. The gimmicks,
super, the Super Paper Mario does that as well, which is one of my favorite Wii games. If you didn't do that and it was just a 2.5D Metroid, like that game suddenly, I think everyone would overlook the story. They'd be like, oh no, this game's awesome.
Yep.
Because I mean, man, when you're like really like sprinting through and like just and you're in like just pure 2.5D, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think people are they wanted either Prime or traditional Metroid.
Yeah.
Don't throw more of this weird stuff at us.
Yeah. And Team Ninja, they just have kind of a bad name sometimes.
They do. They make great. They
you either love them or hate them, I think.
Yeah. Plus the difficulty is usually insane.
Yeah.
They're insane people.
All right, well, I'll toss it back to you.
I mentioned it earlier. I kind of spoiled it. But Star Fox 64 3D. Probably the best way to play Star Fox. They upscaled the graphics. They didn't remake them. They upscaled them. Well, minus overclocking. As of last week, this was the best way.
Right.
It's awesome in 3D too.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I know that's called an analog 3D. It's not really.
I know.
But this in 3D, like with that gimmick on the 3DS, it is gorgeous. It is. They remade a lot of the little character animations when people talk to each other. They did redo that, which is great. But man, only thing I don't like about it is that you can use the gyro controls, which I typically never ever do. And you want to do that with 3D, you're going to throw up. So bad call on their part for that. I think it's the definitive way to play Star Fox.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I have it as well. I think it was like the second game I bought because it was like that and Ocarina of Time were like, hey, we're doing all these like 64 remakes, you know, and then we got Majora's Mask, and then they actually didn't really end up doing that many more, just kind of wild considering how well the 3DS did. But I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, fantastic way to play an amazing game, one of the best Nintendo games ever, right? Yeah. And yeah, I'm right there with you. Even just like the better visuals, because it is better visuals than the N64. But it shows that like some games are truly timeless, and Star Fox 64 is one of those games that is just truly timeless. Like they could basically just do like a new remastered, you know, remake of it, and it could just be like 4K visuals, since the Switch 2 is capable of doing 4Ks, and it would still be good. It would still be just as good.
Yeah, and I think it came at a time when Star Fox is just in a rough patch. I mean, it's still there. It's still in a rough patch. Patch has not gone away. And it was just welcome. Like, oh, yes, thank you. Just give us this. You're right. Yeah. Just give us this.
It's like shocking to me they've never just made Star Fox like 64 too. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I get it. Okay.
Forget everything else.
There was Star Fox 2. I've never played it, even though obviously it was like almost done and you can play it now, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then Star Fox 64 comes out. Okay. And then, okay. All right. Now we're doing Adventures, which I also believe is a somewhat like overhated, underrated game because it was marketing. Like everybody thought it was going to be a new Star Fox game and it was basically a Legend of Zelda game. It's actually a good game.
It's a decent game. Yeah.
Like if you had just called it Dinosaur Planet and you rip away the Star Fox stuff like it was originally supposed to be, then
Star Fox off, it's a good game.
It'd be a good game. And the same thing with then you get into Assault and Command and like and the damage had kind of been done a little bit by that point by like Adventures, unfortunately. And then the Wii U one has like this weird gimmick and it's like, yeah man, just make a simple, you can even release it for $20, Star Fox like 64 too. That's just flying through the levels, doing the thing. And it's like Punch Out. It's fine if that's all it is. Star Fox is totally fine just being that. It doesn't need anything else.
No, you don't need. You don't need to be a boxer.
On foot segments.
You don't need to be a first person boxer to enjoy Punch Out. Like, we right. don't give us any weird gimmicks. Just make the damn game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if you're only going to release if you're only going to release a game once every like 15 years, it's fine if it's more of the same.
Yeah.
Which is all we want.
I don't understand. We're talking about misses in Nintendo. Stop sleeping on Star Fox.
Yeah, because 64 the 3DS port. It's fantastic. It's better than the N64 version because it's a more enhanced version, even though it's just that. But yeah, great for the 3DS too, because just short little segments. Like Star Fox is one of those games that actually is almost better in handheld because you can beat it in like 20, 30 minutes.
Yep. Depending on which path you choose, of
course. Yeah. Multiple paths. I always
choose the harder path because it's a better ending.
I usually choose the easiest path, but I just want to unwind for a little bit. Okay. This is my last game, which is also, I believe, an underrated, I wouldn't say overhated. I don't think this game is necessarily hated, but I would say, I believe it's underrated. And that is New Super Mario Brothers 2. So the reason I think this game got a lot of pushback is it came out like it and Super Mario Brothers Wii U.
The last.
Super Mario Brothers U, right? Right, were like announced, they were shared in like the same directs and things like that, right? And so it was like, man, we're getting two 2D Mario games essentially. And one of them, a lot of people were like, the game is just too easy. But the thing I like about this game, New Super Mario Brothers 2, is that like they tried something. Like, sure, it's not the greatest 2D Mario game ever, but I'm just glad that Nintendo was like, we're going to try something different with Mario. Because Mario, if you're just playing casually the story, you can get infinite, you know, enough lives to where it doesn't matter anyway. Once they introduced saving, it didn't matter anyway. So instead of making it about like surviving levels, they really made it about exploring levels, which I found to be very cool. And this is a game I still go back to every now and then, just because it is fun, like trying to collect every single possible coin in every level and seeing all the different ways to do it. And like at the end of the day, it's just a fun, chill Mario, maybe like the coziest Mario game.
It is cozy.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that one?
I think of it as the coin game. It is the coin Mario. I'm going to try to make this analogy work. So I'm a big Disney fan. My family and I love going to Disney World. And I think one of the misses that Disney made was you go to Galaxy's Edge, you go to Star Wars area. It's the same as it is in California. California is the same as Orlando. It's the same experience no matter where you go. Where this Mario game, I think that was a miss between 3D World, where it was like the same game on both platforms, right? Mm-hmm. You could play it on the 3DS. You could play it on, I think, the Wii U. This was a unique Mario game that you could only experience on the 3DS. You couldn't play it anywhere else. It was unique enough to jump into. I think it came at the end of the life cycle too. I don't think that helped. I'm pretty sure it was right at the end.
Yeah.
Towards could the, be wrong.
The end, maybe middle of the end, but yeah, it was definitely towards the back half of the,
I think there was a lot of things against it. It is a unique Mario game. I think it's fun. It is a cozy Mario. I don't understand why people hate anything. If you don't like it,
right. Don't play it.
Do something else.
Yeah, for me, I just like it because it's different. It's fun. It's like, you know, I'm like when I play a Mario game, like when I play Mario Wonder, I'm like, okay, like I want to like get past all the enemies and my goal is still always to like race to the end of the level. But in this Mario game, your goal immediately changes to being like, no, I need to explore every level. Like I actually want to see every nook and cranny in the level to see if there are coins there.
Right.
And so I think that's like one of the things Wonder did actually very well, where it's like, oh no, same thing. It gives you, like, Wonder on the Switch gives you a reason to explore the levels, like something unlike, I mean, World, there's a couple, right? It's like, okay, this is like a branching path, so I need to explore this level. But most of them, you're just like, all right, just get to the end and that's it. And so the levels end up becoming somewhat forgettable. Whereas here, it's like, man, you need to explore. I want to get every possible coin. Have I gotten like 1,000 coins or something, you know, and like every of the regions. And I love the coin power-up block where it just like, yep, your head turns to a block and the coins are just like spewing out. And it's just, it makes platforming fun because you just like in sync with the music and you're like jumping and there's coins going everywhere.
I think Wonder is like it branched off into like a new genre of, I believe too, of so Mario. Too, yeah. There's your new Mario 2D platform type games. There's your 3D Odysseys. And then there's Wonder, which is just something else. It's just a weird take on Mario. And I think this coin game is kind of, it's more of a Wonder game than it is a new Super Mario Brothers game.
Sure. Yeah. Where it's just like, okay, experimental.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the thing about it is like, it didn't need to be the perfect Mario game because you have Mario 3D Land, right? You had a 3D Mario game. Yep. On there, and you also had the Wii U Mario coming out, which I actually prefer this game more over that one. That one is like, that one I did a Mario ranking a couple years ago. I ranked every like Mario game, like 2D and 3D at the time. This is before Wonder came out, and so and I had Wii U towards like the bottom, like the very bottom of Mario games.
It's the same game.
It was just like, it didn't do anything cool or exciting. It's like a huge reason the Wii U failed. Massive reason the Wii U failed is New Super Mario Brothers. It was like, this is like the game, right, that you're like launching. Like Breath of the Wild obviously came out on the Wii U. It was like it was like the GameCube, right? Whereas like the end of the GameCube started the Wii, this end of the Wii U started the Switch for Breath of the Wild, like Twilight Princess was. Like if that had been the launch game, the Wii U had been a totally different system, like totally. But it's just like, man. And then this was coming out too. Like, I'm pretty sure they're both in the same direct. So it's like, you know, this to me was a more exciting episode. The games.
This episode is very heavy on Nintendo misses.
It was an era.
There's been a few that, yeah, probably
it was, that was their, I would say their biggest struggle is the Wii U. The 3DS actually kind of carried Nintendo for a long time. Because I believe its library was so good. Like, this game being good, like this, like New Super Mario Brothers Wii U is not this game's fault, right? If anything, it hurts this game, I feel like.
So why do you think the 3DS was successful? Obviously, outside of the games that we played.
Japan. Same reason. Yeah. It handheld. And
always,
it's also
a handheld.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because its competition was the Vita, which amazing system, but sold terribly well. Sold terrible, I should say. It did not do well terrible at all. Japan, same thing. I mean, they just eat it up. They just eat up Nintendo stuff. And the 3DS sold, I believe it sold around like 60, 70 million. So, I mean, it was huge. There were years where I would actually argue towards, because remember the PS3 and the 360 were very long in the tooth. Like that's like one of the longest console cycles. Well, we waited for the PS4 and the Xbox One. And so there were years where, you could argue that the 3DS, like maybe you go back like 2012, stuff like that, the 3DS might have been the best like system that year.
So Nintendo was trying to merge the 3DS, the Wii U, Switch.
Ultimately, I think that's the reason the Switch was ultimately as successful as it was, is the Nintendo for a long time had development teams on two different platforms.
On separate, yeah.
And then they said, okay, now we don't have to do that anymore. Now we're one platform, which is huge. Like, I don't think people really realize that. And I've talked about this before as well, is like, Nintendo in a long way, one of the craziest things about the Switch is that Nintendo proved with the Switch, because there's a lot of big games that didn't get in its entire generation. It didn't get the new Assassin's Creed, didn't get like the Star Wars Jedi games, Elden Ring, never had Call of Duty.
Right.
B- because it doesn't need, like, it's crazy as it sounds, Nintendo doesn't even need them because they all have their, they have a lockdown of every genre,
right?
Every different genre, they have their own version of the game that does immensely well, right?
We don't need Call of Duty. We have Splatoon.
I mean, yeah, it's certainly there, but yeah, they certainly action adventure. They're like, okay, we didn't need the new Assassin's Creed. We have Breath of the Wild and Tears of the, and we have Zelda. Right. Like, we don't need, like, platformer they own. I mean, Mario and, you know, Kirby. They've fighting games. Like, we don't need Street Fighter 6. We have Smash Brothers. We don't need Forza. We don't need Gran Turismo because we have Mario Kart and it's better. Like,
so
they're that's why if they became a public, like if just became a third party developer, they would win. Like, they'd be the best every year.
Yeah, they'd be the best.
Their IPs are so insane.
I don't know. This is probably a tangent about something separate, but that's, I don't know about, like, lately I've been handheld heavy.
Yeah.
I've been like, I want the reason I wanted Expedition 33 so I could play it in two places if I want. On Steam, and yeah, it underperformed on the Steam Deck. So these future consoles, they need to think that in mind, because that is my expectation.
That's where we're at now as a society,
right? For sure. If I'm not able to play my game anywhere, I probably won't get it on your system. The appeal, like playing Cyberpunk is appealing. I almost want to get it on the Switch too, because it's
a great build,
right?
It's a fantastic build on Switch too. Yeah, Final and Fantasy, like cross save is like almost a must for me anymore.
If you don't do cross save,
because I'm gonna play on multiple platforms. So Madden, I just picked up Madden for PC because I've had it on Switch. And for starters, it will not even run on my ROG Ally, which is more powerful than the Steam Deck, you know, a little bit. It will not even run. Madden 26 will not run on my ROG Ally.
Wow.
Without my external graphics card. Obviously, then it crushes it. But the Switch version runs 30 FPS. It is not like playing, when you play it at 60 compared to 30, it is like totally different. Will not even run on my ROG Ally. It gets like 20 frames a second on the Steam Deck, because I looked at it. I was like, maybe it's like the Steam Deck build is different or something. No.
Right.
Like, I know it's just a PC build, but it's Linux, and, you know, sometimes they make like Steam Deck specific optimization. No, won't even run. Now on the Switch, it's a good port of it. It's not a great port. It's not an amazing port, but it's just like talking about like big modern games. And a lot of that's on EA for sure. But yeah, I mean, the Cyberpunk build, like Steam Deck compared to Switch, it's way better on Switch.
You need cloud save. You need remote gaming as well. Like, I want to be able to jump in my PC. I want zero
friction.
Zero friction, because man, your last best experience becomes your minimum expectation everywhere else, which is unfortunate for a lot of companies. But man, Nintendo's doing something special with their the Switch 2. Obviously, there's really nothing else you can do. You can't
I just looked at Assassin's Creed footage, just came out today. Man,
which one?
I'm like, Assassin's Creed Shadow.
Oh, okay.
Like, looking, and then Star Wars Outlaws has been getting tons of updates, and everyone's like, it's a fantastic build. And I'm like,
you know what's funny?
Assassin's Creed Shadow, fantastic build of the game. Ubisoft's actually like crushing it on Switch too.
I was halfway through Outlaws, and I'm like, man, some of these graphics, not great.
Yeah.
Within that gameplay, like within my session of that game, they gave an update and fixed.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 1, and companies are getting a lot of game companies are giving out free updates for Switch, for like Switch to Switch 2, and it's like, man, today I'm gonna play that tonight. Is Red Dead?
Oh, there's an update.
Yeah, for Switch 2, and it'll play at 4K 60 on your TV now, and 60 in handheld. Yeah, like,
is that Undead Nightmare? Might pull me back in.
I've blitzed both regular and Undead Nightmare, so I'm super excited to get it, because that's what, because when it came out, I was like, man, because they the PS4 version, which or PS5, whatever, you can do 4K 60, but I was like, I just want to play the game at 60. I don't care if it's 1080p or what. But it's right. just such a yeah.
Yeah, I did that last year. I played through Red Dead on Red Switch. Dead 1.
Yeah.
And it looked, you know, it's okay.
It was 30, yeah. But yeah, so now it's
impressive. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So I feel like the Switch 2, I know, you know, it's kind of, now there's games for it. Because we were early adopters. We got it day one.
Right.
Or day two in my case.
Thanks, Walmart.
Yeah. Day two in my case. okay. Any other thoughts on the 3DS?
My last game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ultimate NES Remix. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, it is. I had it on Wii U. I didn't have it on 3DS.
Very similar between the two. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle game, really, I think. It's a challenge game. You're trying to like do little action sequences of your favorite NES games. I wish they made like a Super Nintendo version.
That's what I was literally about to say. It just adds into our theme today of like,
dude,
Star Fox 64 2. Where's SNES Remix?
They need like it is such a
it's
fun,
right there, man.
It's so like, fun. Like to play as Link in a Mario area. Or like you see your favorite characters interact. It's so cool. Give us the SNES Remix. Like it's so easy.
I straight up thought they were going to. And then there was an NES Remix 2 or something. But yeah, super fun. It was great concept of mini games. Like I remember when it came out. I actually have it on my Wii U because back then Nintendo was doing it different for a long time. They did My Nintendo Rewards.
Yep. I remember getting games, that too.
And I did, and I got like Pikmin 3 and I got NES Remix. I was like, oh yeah, because I had enough points from buying 3DS and Wii U games.
Right. Yeah. So impressive. It is honestly the simplest game. But if you haven't checked it out, it's worth playing.
Yeah, just a ton of little, and there's like Excite Bike is in there and everything, just like, and
add this to the Switch Online, put it in the NES section. This is so fun.
Yeah, another game. Why is there no port of that? Because there is a Wii U version of it, obviously. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then I think that was like one of the first times Nintendo ever shadow dropped something. I think they dropped it like the Wii U version, like that day. Yeah. It was like a digital download.
Digital.
And then, the 3DS got a port of it.
Man, we've built Nintendo up and crushed them, and we built them up and we crushed
them.
We're
shareholders, okay? It's not necessarily criticism. It's like, hey, you guys could be making money here.
We're telling you. We're not asking.
Yeah. Any honorable mentions for 3DS for me?
2D. Yeah, go ahead.
The other game I was going to talk about was Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy.
I have no idea what that is.
So it is a rhythm-based Final Fantasy game in which you play, it's kind of like Elite Beat Agents. Mm-hmm. You remember that for the DS, right? Where it's like music. So it's all the song tracks from the various Final Fantasy games. And like there's different like modes and stuff like that. So one, you're like walking across a map and you have to like time every button press or whatever. Yep. But it's an RPG. So you have characters and they build up and they get stronger and stuff like that. So depending on how well you do, you'll face bosses and will you take them out? Phenomenal. They had a sequel. Final Fantasy or Theaterism Final Fantasy. I forget what the sequel is called, but anyway, it was a huge expansion for it. They did a Dragon Quest version that only came out, I believe, in Japan. And then they did a Kingdom Hearts version for Switch. And then they actually did another version for Switch, but on Switch it's just not the same without the stylus. It's one of those games you really need like the stylus for,
right?
But I have, that's my second most played game with next to like Animal Crossing on 3DS. I was playing that like crazy, so many hours. Like all of my characters are like level 99, did every song, wow. S rank tier, all the songs.
I'll need to check it out.
Oh, it's freaking phenomenal. Get the second one. I forget what it's called. Maybe like Final Mix or something like that. But yeah, that and that was pretty much it. I didn't really get into Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask on the 3DS as much as I thought I would. There is a Xenoblade port. If you Xenoblade Chronicles was ported to the Switch. And then there's Smash Brothers, which is it was a good port of it, but it was just like, I just got the Wii U version, which was obviously fantastic.
Didn't they have? No, I don't think that was connected. There was like a way you could do something between the 3DS and the Wii U.
Yeah, there were some connectivity, like you, their Miis and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Curtain Call is what the second one is called, okay. Which is like the sequel. Yeah, so if you're going to do something, get that one. But cool. Yeah, there was Monster Hunter Generations was fantastic.
Fantastic
on there. Yeah. Ace Combat Assault Horizon, which is like this like weird spinoff. But then they did Assault Horizons Legacy, which is actually just like a remake of Ace Combat 2, and it was like quite fun on the 3DS. So those were kind of like my mainstay games on the 3DS.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, man?
Yeah, Mario Kart 7.
Oh yeah.
Mario Kart 7, fantastic. Link Between Worlds, like we mentioned earlier. Fantastic. Ocarina of Time and one more that I can think of.
There's a great port of Dragon Quest 8 on the 3DS.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Dragon Quest 7, but Dragon Quest 7 is actually getting an upcoming new release. Bravely Default was on there. I didn't really get into Bravely Default.
Wario.
Like Shake It or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, I forget. It was okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is it for us for the 3DS. So where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on the TikToks, the YouTubes, and the Instagrams. Age of Retro.
All right. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. So guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.